Objectives restated. 1900 to 1914. To relieve sick, awaken inquiry, disseminate light, advance reform. I have been instructed that our medical institutions are to stand as witnesses for God. They are established to relieve the sick and the afflicted, to awaken a spirit of inquiry, to disseminate light, and to advance reform. These institutions, rightly conducted, will be the means of bringing a knowledge of the reforms essential to prepare a people for the coming of the Lord before many that otherwise it would be impossible for us to reach. Medical and surgical work. Sanitariums are needed in which successful medical and surgical work can be done. These institutions, conducted in accordance with the will of God, would remove prejudice and call our work into favorable notice. The highest aim of the workers in these institutions is to be the spiritual health to the patients. Successful evangelistic work can be done in connection with medical missionary work. It is as these lines of work are united that we may expect to gather the most precious fruit for the Lord. 1903. Not primarily as hospitals. The purpose of our health institutions is not first and foremost to that of hospitals. The health institutions connected with the closing work of the gospel in the earth stand for the great principles of the gospel in all its fullness. Christ is the one to be revealed in all the institutions connected with the closing work, but none of them can do it so fully as the health institution where the sick and suffering come for relief and deliverance from both physical and spiritual ailment. Many of these need, like the paralytic of old, the forgiveness of sin, the first thing, and they need to learn how to go and sin no more. If a sanitarium connected with this closing message fails to lift up Christ and the principles of the gospel as developed in the third angel's message, it fails in its most important feature and contradicts the very object of its existence. 1914. To employ psychosomatic medicine. In the treatment of the sick, the effect of mental influence should not be overlooked. Rightly used, this influence affords one of the most effective agencies for combating disease. Let every physician and every nurse learn how to work for the alleviation of mental as well as physical suffering. At this time, when sin is so prevalent and so violently revealed, how important it is that our sanitariums be conducted in such a way that they will accomplish the greatest amount of good. How important that all the workers in these institutions know how to speak words in season to those who are weary and sin sick. Medical Ministry, 192, 1905. I tried to make it plain that sanitarium physicians and helpers were to cooperate with God in combating disease not only through the use of the natural remedial agencies He has placed within our reach, but also by encouraging their patients to lay hold on divine strength through obedience to the commandments of God. Medical Ministry, 55, 1906. We have the needed science to soothe the sick. There is then no necessity to search for some mysterious science to soothe the sick. We already have the science which gives them real rest, the science of salvation, the science of restoration, the science of a living faith in a living Savior. 1901. To instruct Seventh-day Adventists and reach the world. In the light given me so long ago, I was shown that intemperance would prevail in the world to an alarming extent, and that every one of the people of God must take an elevated stand in regard to reformation in habits and practices. Then, in after years, the light was given that we should have a sanitarium, a health institution, which was to be established right among us. This was the means God was to use in bringing His people to a right understanding in regard to health reform. It was also to be the means by which we were to gain access to those not of our faith. We were to have an institution where the sick could be relieved of suffering, and that without drug medication. God declared that He Himself would go before His people in this work. To teach better way of living. There are many in our world who are slaves to intemperate habits, which are destroying soul and body. It is God's purpose that in our sanitariums, such ones shall learn a better way of living. Under the influence of Bible truth, many will be won to Christ. The third angel's message is to be carried to all parts of the world. Our sanitariums are one of the means by which truth is to be brought to those who know it not. We must reach the people where they are. In the highways and the byways, the call to the supper is to be given. All must hear the invitation to the banquet prepared for them at infinite cost. As unbelievers are brought under the influence of truth, angels of God will impress their hearts.
To treat without drugs. Institutions for the care of the sick are to be established, where men and women suffering from disease may be placed under the care of God-fearing physicians and nurses, and be treated without drugs. It is the Lord's purpose that His method of healing without drugs shall be brought into prominence in every large city through our medical institutions. To teach healthful living. Our sanitariums are one of the most successful means of reaching all classes of people. Christ is no longer in this world in person to go through our cities and towns and villages healing the sick. He has commissioned us to carry forward the medical missionary work that He began, and in this work, we are to do our very best. Institutions for the care of the sick are to be established, where men and women may be placed under the care of God-fearing medical missionaries and be treated without drugs. To these institutions will come those who have brought disease on themselves by improper habits of eating and drinking. These are to be taught the principles of healthful living. They are to be taught the value of self-denial and self-restraint. They are to be provided with a simple, wholesome, palatable diet, and are to be cared for by wise physicians and nurses. To teach how to dress, breathe, and eat. The light given me was that a sanitarium should be established, and that in it drug medication should be discarded, and simple, rational methods of treatment employed for the healing of disease. In this institution, people were to be taught how to dress, breathe, and eat properly, how to prevent sickness by proper habits of living. To prescribe exercise in open air. I have been instructed that as the sick are encouraged to leave their rooms and spend time in the open air, cultivating flowers, or doing same other light, pleasant work, their minds will be called from self to something more health-giving. Exercise in the open air should be prescribed as a beneficial, life-giving necessity. The longer patients can be kept out of doors, the less care will they require. The more cheerful their surroundings, the more hopeful will they be. Surround them with the beautiful things of nature. Place them where they can see the flowers growing and hear the birds singing, and their hearts will break into song in harmony with the song of the birds. Shut them in rooms, and, be these rooms ever so elegantly furnished, they will grow fretful and gloomy. Give them the blessing of outdoor life. Thus their souls will be uplifted. Relief will come to body and mind. To counteract causes that produce disease. We have received great light on health reform. Why then are we not more decidedly in earnest in striving to counteract the causes that produce disease? Seeing the continual conflict with pain, laboring constantly to alleviate suffering, how can our physicians hold their peace? Can they refrain from lifting the voice in warning? To educate the public. The blessings that attend a disuse of tobacco and intoxicating liquor are to be plainly pointed out. Let the patients be shown the necessity of practicing the principles of health reform if they would regain their health. Let the sick be shown how to get well by being temperate in eating and by taking regular exercise in the open air. It is that people may become intelligent in regard to these things that sanitariums are to be established. A great work is to be done. Those who are now ignorant are to become wise. By the work of our sanitariums, suffering is to be relieved and health restored. People are to be taught how, by carefulness in eating and drinking, they may keep well. Christ died to save men from ruin. Our sanitariums are to be His helping hand, teaching men and women how to live in such a way as to honor and glorify God. If this work is not done by our sanitariums, a great mistake is made by those conducting them. Abstinence from flesh meat will benefit those who abstain. The diet question is a subject of living interest. Those who do not conduct sanitariums in the right way lose their opportunity to help the very ones who need to make a reform in their manner of living. Our sanitariums are established for a special purpose: to teach people that we do not live to eat, but that we eat to live. In our sanitariums, the truth is to be cherished, not banished or hidden from sight. The light is to shine forth in clear, distinct rays. These institutions are the Lord's facilities for the revival of pure, elevated morality. We do not establish them as a speculative business, but to help men and women to follow right habits of living. To encourage healthful living. The great reason why we have sanitariums is that these institutions may be agencies in bringing men and women to a position where they may be numbered among those who shall someday eat of the leaves of the tree of life, which are for the healing of the nations.
And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. Our sanitariums are established as institutions where patients and helpers may serve God. We desire to encourage as many as possible to act their part individually in living healthfully. We desire to encourage the sick to discard the use of drugs and to substitute the simple remedies provided by God, as they are found in water, in pure air, in exercise, and in general hygiene. Use simple remedies. Speak of Christ's power to heal. In no other line of the work is the truth to shine more brightly than in the medical missionary work. Every true medical missionary has a remedy for the sin-sick soul, as well as for the diseased body. By faith in Christ, he is to act as an evangelist, a messenger of mercy. As he uses the simple remedies which God has provided for the cure of physical suffering, he is to speak of Christ's power to heal the maladies of the soul. To open doors for entrance of truth. Medical work is to be sacredly cherished and carefully conducted. It is as the right hand of the body, and is to open doors for the entrance of truth. Medical missionary work is the right hand of the gospel. It is necessary to the advancement of the cause of God, as through it men and women are led to see the importance of right habits of living. The saving power of the truth will be made known. Every city is to be entered by workers trained to do medical missionary work. As the right hand of the third angel's message, God's methods of treating disease will open doors for the entrance of present truth. Health literature must be circulated in many lands. Our physicians in Europe and other countries should awake to the necessity of having health works prepared by men who are on the ground and who can meet the people where they are with the most essential instruction. To reach all classes. God designs that our sanitariums shall be a means of reaching high and low, rich and poor. They are to be so conducted that by their work, attention will be called to the message that God has sent to the world. Sanitarium work is one of the most successful means of reaching all classes of people. Our sanitariums are the right hand of the gospel, opening ways whereby suffering humanity may be reached with the glad tidings of healing through Christ. In these institutions, the sick may be taught to commit their cases to the great physician, who will cooperate with their earnest efforts to regain health, bringing to them healing of soul as well as healing of body. Ordained of God to reach the higher classes. Cautions were given Dr. Kellogg, showing him that his work was to reach the higher classes by maintaining the very highest standard in the sanitarium. This is the only way in which the higher classes can be reached, and I felt that our people ought to feel highly honored because God had placed among us an instrumentality that could reach the higher classes. This is the work which is to interest the world, which is to break down prejudice and force itself upon the attention of the world. To reveal power of the truth to transform character. To our sanitariums has been given the work of reaching the higher classes. This work is to be done not by consorting with them and providing entertainments for them, but by revealing the power of the truth to transform the character. Every human being who is sanctified through a belief of the truth becomes God's light-bearer to the world, his helping hand for the recovering of souls from transgression. He is God's medical missionary. To bring message of salvation to class reached in no other way. We are to learn from the science of soul saving. He is the mighty healer. In our work of preaching the gospel, we are to establish small sanitariums in many places. Sanitarium work is one very successful means of bringing the message of salvation through Christ to the attention of a large class of people who can be reached in no other way. Those from the higher walks of life will come to our sanitariums for treatment, and when they go away, they will tell others of the benefits they have received. Thus, others will be induced to go. It is God's design that our sanitariums shall act an important part in giving the message of Christ's soon coming to those in the highways and byways. To break down prejudice against truth. Our sanitariums are established to break down the prejudice which exists in the world against the truth for this time. Over and over again, instruction was given that our health institutions were to reach all classes of people. The gospel of Jesus Christ includes the work of helping the sick. When I heard that Dr. Kellogg had taken up the medical missionary work, I encouraged him with heart and soul, because I knew that only by this work can the prejudice which exists in the world against our faith be broken down.
Medical missionary work is the pioneer work. It is to be connected with the gospel ministry. It is the gospel in practice, the gospel practically carried out. I have seen that all heaven is interested in the work of relieving suffering humanity. To remove prejudice in new fields. In new fields, where the work of God has yet to be established, medical missionary work is to be done. This work removes prejudice and prepares the way for the proclamation of the third angel's message. It is the means by which doors are opened for the entrance of the special truths for this time. Medical missionary work and the gospel are one. If united, they make a complete whole. The justification for all Seventh-day Adventist institutional activity. God's purpose in giving the third angel's message to the world is to prepare a people to stand true to him during the investigative judgment. This is the purpose for which we establish and maintain our publishing houses, our schools, our sanitariums, hygienic restaurants, treatment rooms, and food factories. This is our purpose in carrying forward every line of work in the cause. God calls for a dedication of sanitariums. The Lord calls for a solemn dedication to him of the sanitariums that shall be established. Our object in the establishment of these institutions is that the truth for this time may through them be proclaimed. The saving of souls in our medical institutions. Let every means be devised to bring about the saving of souls in our medical institutions. This is our work. If the spiritual work is left undone, there is no necessity of calling upon our people to build these institutions. Those who have no burning desire to save souls are not the ones who should connect with our sanitariums. Not alone for the relief of suffering. In all our sanitariums, the work done should be of such a character as to win souls to Jesus Christ. We have a wide missionary field in our health institutions, for here, people of all countries come to regain their health. The best helpers to have connected with our sanitariums are those men who desire to make the Bible their guide, those who will put forth their mental and moral powers to advance the work in correct ways. Let the workers in the sanitariums remember that the object of the establishment of these institutions is not alone the relief of suffering and the healing of disease, but also the salvation of souls. Let the spiritual atmosphere of these institutions be such that men and women who are brought to the sanitariums to receive treatment for their bodily ills shall learn the lesson that their diseased souls need healing. To preach the gospel means much more than many realize. It is a broad, far-reaching work. Our sanitariums have been presented to me as most efficient means for the promotion of the gospel message. The work of the true medical missionary is largely a spiritual work. To lead the sick to realize need of spiritual help. In our sanitariums, the sick and suffering are to be led to realize that they need spiritual help as well as physical restoration. They are to be given every advantage for the restoration of physical health, and they should be shown also what it means to be blessed with the light and life of Christ, what it means to be bound up with Him. They are to be led to see that the grace of Christ in the soul uplifts the whole being. To point sufferers to Jesus. We should ever remember that the efficiency of the medical missionary work is in pointing sin-sick men and women to the man of Calvary, who taketh away the sin of the world. By beholding him, they will be changed into his likeness. Our object in establishing sanitariums is to encourage the sick and suffering to look to Jesus and live. Let the workers in our medical institutions keep Christ, the great physician, constantly before those to whom disease of body and soul has brought discouragement. Point them to the one who can heal both physical and spiritual diseases. Tell them of the one who is touched with the feeling of their infirmities. Encourage them to place themselves in the care of him who gave his life to make it possible for them to have life eternal. Keep their minds fixed upon the one altogether lovely, the chiefest among 10,000. Talk of his love. Tell of his power to save. A point often repeated. Why do we establish sanitariums? That the sick who come to them for treatment may receive relief from physical suffering and may also receive spiritual help. Our sanitariums are to be established for one object, the advancement of present truth, and they are to be so conducted that a decided impression in favor of the truth will be made on the minds of those who come to them for treatment. In our sanitariums, no day should be allowed to pass without something being done for the salvation of souls. The sanitariums that shall be established are to be God's memorials, agencies in the conversion of many souls.
The conversion of souls is the one great object to be sought for in our medical institutions. It is for this that these institutions are established. Our sanitariums are to be an agency for bringing peace and rest to troubled minds. Our sanitariums are to be schools in which instruction shall be given in medical missionary lines. They are to bring to sin-sick souls the leaves of the tree of life, which will restore to them peace and hope and faith in Christ Jesus. Our sanitariums have been established for the purpose of preparing a people for the second coming of our Lord and Savior. Never are we to lose sight of the great object for which our sanitariums are established.
the advancement of God's closing work in the earth. Plan the work to accomplish our objective. If we are to go to the expense of building sanitariums in order that we may work for the salvation of the sick and afflicted, we must plan our work in such a way that those we desire to help will receive the help they need. We are to do all in our power for the healing of the body, but we are to make the healing of the soul of far greater importance. Wise, soundly converted physicians and workers. In our sanitariums, of all places in the world, we need soundly converted physicians and wise workers, men and women who will not urge their peculiar ideas upon the sick, but who will present the truths of the Word of God in a way that will bring comfort and encouragement and blessing to the patients. This is the work for which our sanitariums are established, to correctly represent the truths of the Word of God and to lead the minds of men and women to Christ. Saving of souls, the physician's first work. The Redeemer expects our physicians to make the saving of souls their first work. If they will walk and work with God in His love and fear, they will receive leaves from the tree of life to give to the suffering. His peace will go with them, making them messengers of peace. Blend physical and spiritual ministry. The physician should reveal the higher education in his ability to point to the Savior of the world as one who can heal and save the soul and the body. This gives the afflicted an encouragement that is of the highest value. The ministry to the physical and the spiritual are to blend, leading the afflicted ones to trust in the power of the heavenly physician. Those who, while giving the proper treatments, will also pray for the healing grace of Christ, will inspire faith in the minds of the patients. Their own course will be an inspiration to those who supposed their cases to be hopeless. This is why our sanitariums were established, to give courage to the hopeless by uniting the prayer of faith with proper treatment and instruction in physical and spiritual right living. Through such ministrations, many are to be converted. The physicians in our sanitariums are to give the clear gospel message of soul healing. A double qualification. You greatly need divine wisdom to enable you to serve in two positions of responsibility, as a skillful physician and also as a preacher of the gospel. There must be a daily conversion in order to blend successfully the work for body and soul. I cannot tell you in detail just how this should be done, but I know that you can do an important work in the ministry of the Word in instructing the souls for whom you labor to believe in Jesus Christ. Spiritual welfare of patients. In training workers to care for the sick, let the minds of the students be impressed with the thought that their highest aim should always be to look after the spiritual welfare of their patients. To this end, they should learn to repeat the promises of God's Word and to offer fervent prayers daily while preparing for service. Let them realize that they are always to keep the sweetening, sanctifying influence of the great medical missionary before their patients. If those who are suffering can be impressed with the fact that Christ is their sympathizing, compassionate Savior, they will have rest of mind, which is so essential to recovery of health. Agencies fulfilling God's great purposes. In the world, all kinds of provision have been made for the relief of suffering humanity. But the truth in its simplicity is to be brought to these suffering ones through the agency of men and women who are loyal to the commandments of God. Sanitariums are to be established all through our world and managed by a people who are in harmony with God's laws, a people who will cooperate with God in advocating the truth that determines the case of every soul for whom Christ died.
All the light of the past, which shines unto the present, and reaches forth into the future, as revealed in the Word of God, is for every soul who comes to our health institutions. The Lord designs that the sanitariums established among Seventh-day Adventists shall be symbols of what can be done for the world, types of the saving power of the truths of the gospel. They are to be agencies in the fulfillment of God's great purposes for the human race. Memorials for God. The Lord has ordained that sanitariums be established in many places to stand as memorials for Him. This is one of His chosen ways of proclaiming the third angel's message. By this means, the truth will reach many, who, but for these agencies, would never be lightened by the brightness of the gospel message. In the presentation of truth, some will be attracted by one phase of the gospel message, and some by another. We are instructed by the Lord to work in such a way that all classes will be reached. The message must go to the whole world. Our sanitarium work is to help make up the number of God's people. Unembarrassed worldly confederations. Now and ever we are to stand as a distinct and peculiar people, free from all worldly policy, unembarrassed by confederating with those who have not wisdom to discern God's claims so plainly set forth in His law. All our medical institutions are established as Seventh-day Adventist institutions to represent the various features of gospel medical missionary work and thus to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord. We are to show that we are seeking to work in harmony with heaven. We are to bear witness to all nations, kindreds, and tongues, but we are a people who love and fear God, a people who keep holy His memorial of creation, the sign between Him and His obedient children that He sanctifies them. And we are plainly to show our faith in the soon coming of our Lord in the clouds of heaven. To bind ourselves up by contracts with those not of our faith is not in the order of God. We are to treat with kindness and courtesy those who refuse to be loyal to God, but we are never, never to unite with them in counsel regarding the vital interests of His work. Distinctly Seventh-day Adventist. It has been stated that the Battle Creek Sanitarium is not denominational. But if ever an institution was established to be denominational, in every sense of the word, this sanitarium was. Why are sanitariums established if it is not that they may be the right hand of the gospel in calling the attention of men and women to the truth that we are living amid the perils of the last days? And yet, in one sense, it is true that the Battle Creek Sanitarium is undenominational, in that it receives as patients people of all classes and all denominations. The Story of Our Health Message, 253. Not for hotels. We are not building sanitariums for hotels. Receive into our sanitariums only those who desire to conform to right principles, those who will accept the foods that we can conscientiously place before them. Should we allow patients to have intoxicating liquor in their rooms, or should we serve them with meat, we could not give them the help they should receive in coming to our sanitariums. We must let it be known that from principle, we exclude such articles from our sanitariums and our hygienic restaurants. Do we not desire to see our fellow beings freed from disease and infirmity, and in the enjoyment of health and strength? Then let us be as true to principle as the needle to the pole. Not for entertainment of tourists. I have a decided message for our people in Southern California. The Lord does not require them to provide facilities for the entertainment of tourists. The establishment of an institution for this purpose would be setting a wrong example before the Lord's people. The result would not justify the effort put forth. Not for pleasure seekers. We are not to absorb the time and strength of men capable of carrying onward the Lord's work in the way He has outlined, in an enterprise for the accommodation and entertainment of pleasure seekers, whose greatest desire is to gratify self. Not to cater to world's demand for pleasure. It is not necessary that we should cater to world's demands for pleasure. There are other places in the world where people may find amusement. We need at our sanitariums substantial men and women. We need those who will reveal the simplicity of true godliness. When the sick come to our institutions, they should be made to realize that there is a divine power at work,
that angels of God are present,
if rightly conducted.
Our sanitariums have in the past, and will continue to be, if rightly conducted, a means of blessing and uplifting to humanity. If the truth is rightly represented, those who patronize our sanitariums will learn much regarding its principles, and many will be converted. These institutions have been represented to me as beacon lights, showing forth the truth as it is in Jesus. The Lord Jesus is the great minister of healing, and his presence in our institutions has been a savor of life unto life. Christ came to the world as the great physician of mankind. Our sanitariums, wherever they are established, should be made educational forces. The Lord would be pleased to have you with chosen helpers build up your work to do a more special work in religious lines. Wonderful has been the working out of God's plan in the establishment of so many health institutions. Intemperance of every kind is taking the world captive, and those who are true educators at this time, those who instruct along the lines of self-denial and self-sacrifice, will have their reward. Now is our time, now is our opportunity to do a blessed work. The objectives reviewed and restated in 1908. In letters received from our brethren, the questions are asked, why do we expend so much effort in establishing sanitariums? Why do we not pray for the healing of the sick instead of having sanitariums? There is more to these questions than is at first apparent. In the early history of our work, many were healed by prayer, and some, after they were healed, pursued the same course in the indulgence of appetite that they had followed in the past. They did not live and work in such a way as to avoid sickness. They did not show that they appreciated the Lord's goodness to them. Again and again, they were brought to suffering through their own careless, thoughtless course of action. How could the Lord be glorified in bestowing on them the gift of health? When the light came that we should begin sanitarium work, the reasons were plainly given. There were many who needed to be educated in regard to healthful living. As the work developed, we were instructed that suitable places were to be provided, to which we could bring the sick and suffering who knew nothing of our people and scarcely anything of the Bible, and there teach them how to regain health by rational methods of treatment, without having recourse to poisonous drugs, and at the same time surround them with uplifting spiritual influences. As a part of the treatment, lectures were to be given on right habits of eating and drinking and dressing. Instruction was to be given regarding the choice and the preparation of food, showing that food may be prepared so as to be wholesome and nourishing, and at the same time, appetizing and palatable. In all our medical institutions, patients should be systematically and carefully instructed how to prevent disease by a wise course of action. Through lectures and the consistent practice of the principles of healthful living on the part of consecrated physicians and nurses, the blinded understanding of many will be opened, and truths never before thought of will be fastened on the mind. Many of the patients will be led to keep the body in the most healthy condition possible, because it is the Lord's purchased possession. It is to save the souls, as well as to cure the bodies of men and women, that at much expense our sanitariums are established. God designs that by means of these agencies of his own planting, the rich and the poor, the high and the low, shall find the bread of heaven and the water of life. He designs that they shall be educated in right habits of living, spiritual and physical. The salvation of many souls is at stake. In the providence of God, many of the sick are to be given the opportunity of separating for a time from harmful associations and surroundings, and of placing themselves in institutions where they may receive health-restoring treatments and wise instruction from Christian nurses and physicians. The establishment of sanitariums is a providential arrangement whereby people from all churches are to be reached and made acquainted with the truth for this time. Purposes and condition of prosperity unchanged. As our work has extended and institutions have multiplied, God's purpose in their establishment remains the same. The conditions of prosperity are unchanged.